mean to get you unawares or unprepared, but thank you for coming. Ken Gill here this morning, that you would bless the word spoken, that you would speak through Ken today. We ask for a special blessing on our time here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Testing 1, 2, 6. How's that? How many believe that we should rejoice with those that rejoice? Does anybody rejoice? Well, it just so happens that this last week, Graham and I spent time about 9 days together in Belize. And we had an opportunity to, I had an opportunity to see one of your leaders here in this body in action. And not only in action, to see the investment from this body into another nation. I want to commend you for your missionary heart and your investment in Graham as he went out. Let me just say to you that he represented you very well. Because when we are sent out and when we go out, we are not just representing ourselves, but we are representing the ones who send us. And of course, we are representing the Most High God. And it was a delight for me as a much younger man than Graham to be able to note the leaving of a legacy in a nation. And that's exactly what was going on last week. The deposit of God, 76 people in Belize have already been trained in counselor training. And the beautiful thing is Graham launched the school this time, but those that he has been training took the majority of the classes and the teaching and leading of the labs as well. And, you know, they did very well. For most of them, it was their very first time to stand in front of their peers. Lots of times we can stand in front of children or youth and feel confident, but when you are standing in front of your peers and offering them principles and points about counseling and how it affects all the areas of our life, I just want to say to you, Graham, bless you. Job well done. And it's a delight to be able to partner with you. He serves our Ripple Network right across the nation and other parts as well in other nations. And so it was a delight to be together. And I hope you enjoyed having me with you as much as I enjoyed being with you in Belize. I just want to tell you, though, it was so hot. It was so hot. Honestly. Yeah, feel bad for us. It was so, brother, you'd have been right at home. All I had to do was blink and I sweat, you know. And I, like, it was 30 degrees plus Celsius, plus 85 to 100% humidity. And it's like, oh, it's like everything sticks to you, you know what I'm saying? So Graham and I, we left that in the morning and we landed in minus 30 in Calgary. How's that? On the same day. So that's a 60 degree swing in a matter of hours. And but anyways, we're back and safe and sound in one place, in one piece. Another thing that's really neat is this week is a special week for Graham and Sherry. It is their 45th wedding anniversary. And yeah. I thought somebody might be presenting your wife with a medal here this morning, having made through 45 years. But congratulations on your 45th wedding anniversary, and God bless you as you enjoy some time together as husband and wife. Good to be with you. I've been listening to some of the messages that Bill has been preaching here. So when I ask him, how can I serve you the best? I'd like to take you back to a couple of slides I shared with you a couple of years ago where Bill was ministering last week on the eager expectation of God. And he went through that and he defined that, and I'm not going to go back and repeat that. But the point that I want to emphasize today is God is really interested in the revelation of the sons of God to creation. He really is. He is looking to raise up mature men and women of God. He mentioned in his message last week, he talked about the difference between children and sons. And it's part of our growth and maturation as a people of God that we are to be growing on a regular basis as God's people. Is there an agreement in the house? I'm I don't know if you want to respond to me. How many are satisfied in this room with your spiritual growth and advancement? No hands. So, Holy Spirit wants to help us. Does anybody want to advance? Does anybody want to grow? Maybe it's quite possible that you weren't ready for the question and you're being quite highly self-critical, and we'll give room for that. But I just want to say to you that I believe the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us wants to advance the cause of Christ within before he advances the cause of Christ without. But if he's advancing the cause of Christ, remember, the Holy Spirit never speaks about himself. Only what he hears, he speaks. And so he's living in perfect alignment with the Father and the Son. And so what Holy Spirit wants to do is activate the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives so that we can see ourselves growing and developing, so that we can look back and say, boy, I'm not the same man I was a year ago. I'm not the same woman I was 6 months ago, because we are aware that God is at work. Anybody there? I said to a pastor in our network many years ago, he was concerned about the body of Christ and what he was pastoring. And I said, you know, and he felt that God was really working on him as a person. Well, I said, well, why don't you just get a sandwich board? You know what a sandwich board is? Somebody wants to advertise for Subway, so they put a Subway sign here and a Subway, and they drape it over their neck, and they hang it there, and they walk up and down the street, and they get paid for advertising for Subway. How many of you have seen those people? Maybe you've done it yourself. Well, I said, why don't you create a sandwich board for yourself? And he said, well, what would I put on? I put on a God at work. And so he got a sandwich board made up, and while he preached for 3 weeks in front of the people, he wanted the people to understand that we as leaders must continue to grow so that we can help the body to be able to grow and to develop in their journey with the Lord. So Bill is talking to you about stepping out in realms of healing, maybe in out of his comfort zone into a place where God can use us in a different way. And I asked our body last night, because we meet on Saturday nights, how many would be willing to adopt a lifestyle of risk? Right? Now, there are many business people in this room. And to launch your businesses and to lead your businesses, you've had to engage in all kinds of risk. And sometimes we've taken risks, and sometimes we maybe take one too many risks. and it doesn't go well for us. Sometimes we step out and we take a risk and the risk doesn't go good and we lose everything. We lose investment dollars. We lose other people's investment and all those kinds of things. So what happens is we usually draw ourselves back in and we're unwilling to risk. So if Bill steps out this week and wants to pray for somebody and nothing happens, what's he going to do? He's going to draw back in and say, I'm not sure whether this works or not. I don't think so. Because all that the Holy Spirit asks us to do is to be available agents and to step out and live a life of risk-taking. Step out. And I want to encourage us, all of us this morning, to step out into places that we've not gone, things that we've not done before. And I believe that as we do that, that Holy Spirit has an opportunity to bless us, and not only bless us, but maybe just somehow he'll heal somebody. That you're going to step out and you're going to believe God to heal. You're going to step out that way and just perhaps God will do something special on your behalf. But I want to encourage you to a life of risk. What do you think about that? If we want to align ourselves with the book of Acts, the scripture says that the apostles hazarded their lives for the cause of the gospel. So they are willing to go places, do things that they had never done before. And I think that that's exciting. Don't you like to do things you've never done before? Anybody interested in that? If we read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, really it's a historical reflection of the people of God who knew God, who took risks. And if you read, it's a testimony. They call it the Westminster Abbey of Faith. And if you go to the Westminster Abbey, you'll see all kinds of people that are honored there and their bodies are buried in that abbey underneath the floor. And they are honored in that way. They're people that stepped out. They took a risk. They decided to do that. And I believe that as the sons and daughters of God, that we have an opportunity to take risks. And I want to encourage us this morning, let's not just risk in the realm of business, in the realm of investment, but let's risk in the realm of faith. Let's step out of the boat. Can you hear the words of Jesus saying to Peter? Peter, bid me come. And he stepped out. Think about it now. I've fished quite a bit. Think about stepping out of a boat. Think about that. What's the thing that we would anticipate doing? Thank you very much, going for a swim, right? We'd step out, we'd step in, and we'd be over our heads. And we'd either sink or swim. But the scripture says that he walked seemingly on the surface of the water. I believe that he didn't walk on the water at all. He walked on a platform of faith that was established with every step that he took. It was an invisible thing because faith is quite invisible until it's made visible. Is that not true? And so you and I have the opportunity to make faith visible. As a matter of fact, there's all kinds of people pray for the glory of God. Oh, let the glory of God come. And in my journey with God and trying to understand what is the glory of God, well, I've discovered in a definition that we could hang on to, it's the revealed, visible presence of the invisible God through visible servants of God and sons of God. So, because we carry this glory around, this treasure in this earthen vessel, you and I have the opportunity to release his glory. Amen? How many be willing to take a risk this week? You see, as sons and daughters of God, he's waiting for us to be revealed. The neat thing is, everyone, if I could say this to you respectfully, wherever you go to work tomorrow, see yourself as the plants of God. You've been planted there by God. And so what do we do as plants? We reveal. We reveal the grace of God, the glory of God, the kindness of God, because that's who we are, and we are to reveal that as the sons and daughters of the Most High God. And Bill talked last week about that eager expectation. And you know that there are three groans of God. Can you imagine the intelligentsia of the universe groaning? Think about that. The Bible says that all things that have been created by him and for him, Jesus is the creator of all things, both visible and invisible. So when it comes to the groans of God, we've got all of creation groaning itself. So I'm just segueing from last week into this week, just through some notes I have, because I'm journeying in the same vein that Bill is journeying, and I just want to jump off on that. You know, historically, we realize in the last 70 years of history in America and in the world, there have been more earthquakes in the last 50 to 60 years than there has been in the history of mankind. The earth is quaking. Creation is groaning. The earth quakes when the earth groans and the platelets shift. And said that was going to be some of our indicators of the coming of Christ. And when we begin to look at what's happening in the earth itself, the tsunamis that are transpiring in the world, all of these things are but signposts that there's something in creation is groaning, awaiting the raising up of and releasing of the sons of God. Then it says in verse 23, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoptions of sons. What adoption is that talking about? It's a second adoption. The first adoption is we are adopted into the family of God and baptized into the body of Christ. That's our adoption. That's the legal adoption of our faith. This one here is we're waiting to be in the presence of he who has told us that there is an eternity to come. And we have an opportunity. I hear people, the older they get, they say, oh, Pastor, I can't wait for God to take me home. This old body just sighing and cracking. How many in this room that be older, that you have more aches and pains and things that happen in you than happened maybe 20 years ago? You know, because the body itself, our whole body is awaiting. I've prayed with so many people in the hospital. Like, Pastor, will you just ask God to take me home? Well, sure. You want to go? Yeah, I want to go. I want to get out of this body of clay. You know, everything seems to be aching. And I just have this anticipation of and this desire to be in the presence of God. Would you like to go? Yeah. Remember standing around a bedside one time. The lady had a serious cancer in her body. And they had asked me to come. I was a chaplain in the hospital at that time. So I just loved to have opportunity to walk from room to room with permission and ask them if I could have opportunity to minister and pray and whatever we could do. And so we'd go from room to room. And this family asked me to come in. And it was a believing family. The mother was suffering terribly. And I posed a question to you. I said, about six family around members and maybe about 10 total. I said, are you prepared to release your mom into the presence of God? Well, we've not thought about that. Well, how many are tired of seeing your mom suffer? Everybody put up their hand, so to speak. Yeah, I said, well, why don't we just release her this afternoon? And I took her hand. Her hand was as cold as ice. I said, would you like to be released into the presence of God? Oh, Pastor. Oh, yes, I want to go to be with Jesus. See, death is not a bad thing. It's a guaranteed thing for everybody in the room. It's appointed unto man once to die and after that. Right? And we're living in this parenthesis. We're living in the dash period. The date of our birth and the date of our death, that's the dash, right? You go to a cemetery and you wouldn't know anything about that, would you, Mr. Director over here? You look on the tombstone, you got born in 1969 and a dash. And then it's not filled in yet, right? Because that's the appointment. We meet the appointment, and we're there. So I took a hold of them and I said, these people were good evangelical folks and I'm a charismatic leader, you know. I said, why don't we just all lift our hands up to God? That's a stretch for them. When's the last time we did something for the first time, right? Risk a little bit. So why don't you just lift your hands up to God and just release your mom? I said, I bet you she's just holding on because she doesn't want to disappoint anybody that's here. She's been here for you all her life. Why don't you let her go? Can we do that? Oh, yeah. We lifted our hands to God. Mom's spirit left her body. And there we were in the room celebrating the homegoing. Because death's not an enemy to us. Right? It's not an enemy. Us to recognize that death is but the gateway into Did you think God has a sense of humor? But here's the other thing. This is a place in prayer that many believers never come to. It's the place where the greatest intelligence of the universe groans. Time to try to process these things about these things happening. And then us even awaiting what God has for us. But it says here in verse 26, same way, Spirit helps our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words can't express. Do you know what that word groan means? The unutterable gushings of the Spirit. Do you mean that the intelligentsia of God, Holy Spirit, wants to have permission to use our vessels as intercessions through which he groans through us that his purposes might be fulfilled? Let me ask a question. Is there ever a time in your journey of prayer when you get into a situation you don't know how to pray? Anybody been there? That's the beautiful thing about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a gateway into fresh dimensions in the Spirit-filled life. Let me just case in point. We had an unprepared meeting yesterday, and the meeting was about 5 hours long. And we hadn't planned for it, but you know, we felt that we needed to have it. And so we were at a time of prayer at the end. And we were kneeling on the floor in our living room. And I got to a place in prayer that I could not articulate in English what the Spirit wanted to pray through me. Honestly. And I've been given a verbal gift by God to communicate. But had nothing. And then my spirit began to pray. Because he knows the will of the Father. And he wants to take our vessels in this spirit-filled life and pray through us. You say, that sounds awfully weird. Well, I've been there when my wife has been giving birth to children. And the sounds are not all that pleasant. Come on, help me out. There's more kids in this local congregation than I see in a month. Come on, moms. You know, I said to my wife when she was giving birth, I can't feel a thing. I was trying to encourage her, Cap. I didn't stay around too long to get the elbow or the fist. But the bottom line, hey, when we're giving birth to things, he groans. We groan. And his purposes come through us. Oh, I've been in so many log jams in the spirit realm through my whole life. I don't know what I'd do without the ability to pray in the Holy Spirit. I'd be hooped. You understand that, English? I'd be hooped. And you say, well, maybe I've not got jammed up like that. Well, maybe haven't, but it could be on the horizon. could find yourself in a place where Holy Spirit just wants us to step out into a new realm. And you say, will I lose control? No. You submit control to him and he just starts praying through us. As I was picking up on where I sense that Bill has been going. And all they want to do today is compliment and be another voice in this whole realm. But what I want to do right here, if I could for a moment, please, is I'd like to give to you. He was talking last couple of weeks about the spirit-filled life. Is there anybody here we really want to live a spirit-filled life? Who wants to really live a spirit-filled life? Listen, I've been on this journey all these years, and you know what? I found so much stuff in the Bible that I could probably preach for 4 or 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, for a couple of years and never exhaust. Because the moment that I flip something else over, it flips something else over. You think you have a handle on something here and he flips something else over. And you go, oh, I didn't realize how that connected with that and that connected with this. And I would just like to leave you, and maybe at a point here you could take a picture of the slide, but I'd like to leave you with some, there's things that God gives to us. Many times when we start out in this journey of faith, we're all excited about our faith in Christ, and we're saved, we got a new life, and we're reading the Bible, and we're doing this and that. But sometimes in our journey, we lose momentum. And methinks this morning that Holy Spirit would like to reignite some fresh momentum. Could we come into agreement with that? What is momentum? It's like capturing this moment. Taking a hold of the God of the universe, realizing he lives inside of us, and then give him full permission to do what he wants. Because it all began with him, right? It all began with Holy Spirit. And what we've got here is we've got a whole plethora of things. Come on, thing work. A whole plethora of things. Life in the Spirit. It begins that we were born of the Spirit. How many are born of the Spirit in this room? You're born of the Spirit? Go ahead, raise your hand. Let's say that together. I am born of the Spirit. Isn't that fantastic? In other words, we've been born again of the Spirit of the living God. Now, that freaks people out too. Because it's right back to the birthing. You mean Nicodemus said, I have to go back inside my mother's womb and come out again? Well, we know that's preposterous, right? Well, what he is trying to understand in the natural, what Jesus was trying to explain in a spiritual dimension, Nicodemus was encountering a brand new development. He came to him by night. He was a teacher. He knew the law. But now he was stepping out. There was something in Jesus that intrigued him. So he had to find out what that intrigue was. Then we are asked and directed in Galatians chapter 5 that we're to live in the Spirit. So that means that God is interested in us not only obtaining progress, but obtaining and maintaining momentum, spiritual momentum. So we get an opportunity to live in the Spirit. That's found in Galatians chapter 5. Let's have a look at a couple of these scriptures because I don't have them printed out. You got your Bibles with you or you've got your phones open, whatever you may have. Let's go to what it says here in verse 20, Galatians 5. And let's go to verse number 16. I say, walk by the Spirit, and we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, if there's anything that stops momentum in our journey, it's giving in to the flesh. And everybody said amen. Right? Like, seriously. Like, can we just put our hand right there in the Bible? Can you go back over to Romans 8 but not lose this place? Go back to where you were last week. Romans 8. Keep your hand in Galatians. Romans and Galatians. If you're studying God's word, it's good to study both books at the same time. If you're studying Romans, study Galatians. Many times in many theological training centers, they're taught on the back of one another or together because of the truth that's involved in them and how it complements. Look at verse number 5 of chapter 8. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So the question is, what's our mindset this morning? What's our mindset? Mindset is a term that's used in culture all the time. So we make a decision as to what is my mind going to be set on today. Am I going to be, my mindset is going to be on the things of the flesh or the things of the Spirit? Because if my mind is set on the things of the flesh, that's what my mindset's going to be. So what I'll do is I'll cater to every fleshly desire that I have because my mindset is there. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that that could be just where culture is right about now? All the stuff we're dealing with is things of the flesh. You and I are in opposition, not because we want to be in opposition, because we're people of the Spirit. Our mind is set on the things of the Spirit. Your mind set on the things of the Spirit? Come on, Nate, the thing of it is, it's a purpose of worship here this morning as Cam was leading us, was to help drop off the carbuncles of this week and for us to have a fresh focus on the things of the Spirit. So he's taking us by the leadership of the Spirit to a place where we would move beyond ourselves and we would begin to exalt someone that is higher than ourselves. And we would work with Holy Spirit in these things. In Romans chapter 8, look what it says. Keep going with me. Here it comes. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So who's governing our mind this morning? Well, whomever I give governance to, my mind. You got to know that as a counselor, Graham, right? As we walk with people, as we journey with people. And so the subject matter here is governance. Who's governing our minds? And you know what? That's a decision that we just make. We say, God, I want you to be the governor of my mind. And then sit back and watch him begin to govern. That means he oversees. That means he's in charge. That means it's lordship. That means it's mastery, where we are giving our minds over to him and to his word and say, I want my mind to be governed by you. Isn't that beautiful? And that's where we keep ourselves out of trouble, man.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Little amen.
Amen.
Little, yeah, a little help. You understand what I'm saying, eh?
This, oh, yes.
We're talking turkey right here, right?
Oh,
gotcha. It's just that clear, isn't it?
It is.
It's really not that difficult because I sense, as Bill was ministering the word in the last number of weeks, that there is a fresh momentum that God is desiring for this body. But it's in the Spirit. And if there's anything that will suck the life out of a body, it's catering to the flesh. That's personal and corporate. It just sucks the life out of us spiritually. Does it break relationship with God when it's personally? I'm not sure it breaks relationship, but it breaks fellowship. Things are not as sweet. Holy Spirit, restore sweetness in this room, in our personal relationship with you. May God's grace come to you, come to us, come to me. Let's just keep going, or we'll have you here till next week. But I felt I needed to read this. This is just the word The mind governed by the flesh, Ken, is death, Ken. I put my name in there all the time when I'm reading this thing. But the mind, Ken, governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Anybody troubled by anxiety this morning? It's a governance issue. It's a governance. Who's in charge? Let go of the wheel. Let go of the reins, whatever it needs to be. And when we do that, the Holy Spirit comes along and helps us. And the mind that is governed by the flesh is hostile. Ooh, that's a strong word. In the King James, for those of us that are older, King Jimmy, it was good enough for Paul. It's good enough for us, right? Oh, come on, a little humor. What it says. There you go. Anyways, what we've got here is, it says here, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile. The Greek word is enmity. It's at odds. He can't have it both ways. It's not living in the flesh and living in the Spirit simultaneous. But it's living in the Spirit. Let's go back to the scripture. And it says here, this is one that I've tried to work through for many years. Chapter 8, verse 8. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Is there any wonder why we are in conflict with culture at this point in time? Because that which is coming at us is flesh on steroids. It's flesh, 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 flesh. And we make parades out of it. And we call it pride. Hello? It's at odds against God, according to the scripture. Oh, do I love people in struggling and those? Absolutely. Spent my life trying to help people to have the governance of our mind re-governed from a fleshly governance to a godly governance. Can I ask you a question? How many here, you have gone through that transformation where you said, God, you recognize your life was governed by the things of the flesh, but now they're, yeah, Bill. I watched Bill when we were together years ago. He just raised his hand first man I met today when I was coming in. Well, Bill, but it's one thing to walk with people when they know their minds are governed by the things, and God comes and turns our mindsets. For those of us who have been raised in faith, we have to have a similar encounter with God, because we can't just adopt our mom and dad's faith. We've got to wrestle with God on our own and let God touch the hollow of our thigh and have our own marked relationship with God, our own date and time where we encountered him and he encountered us, and we even get our name changed from Jacob to Israel. That's what happens when the governance shifts. Even the name changes. It's amazing, isn't it? Let's go on here in this list. So if I'm born of the Spirit, I'm asked to live in the Spirit. Next thing is I'm to be led by the Spirit. This is how we obtain and maintain momentum. The next thing is I'm led by the Spirit. I'm to walk in the Spirit. And we are invited by Holy Spirit in the Word to walk in that way. Then, not only there, I'm then to be, as I walk in the Spirit, I'm to be filled with the Spirit. And the beautiful thing about Ephesians 5:18, the word fills means keep being filled. So as we walk with God, we begin to journey with him in these six things here. The next thing we begin to do is we begin to pray in the Spirit. And I was listening to Bill's messages from weeks gone by. I believe that Holy Spirit has these simple things in the Spirit to obtain and maintain spiritual momentum in our journeys with God. Anybody interested? Son, you interested in that? You know, you took a hold of these things. I love that shirt, man. I think, you know, is that a large? It's not. I was thinking it might fit me. Yeah, I'm prone. I'm prone to blue, as you can see. You know, it doesn't matter. Blue. But anyway, so. And green. Because I'm spring, right? But I think you're mediums, so Anyways, praying in the Spirit. So I have these things. And man, see, you didn't come to church this morning. You are the church. Amen. You came to a building to fellowship and worship God. I'm not trying to be technical. But the Holy Spirit and the church, that's not a building unless it's your building, God's building. And he has, these are six. There's one more slide, and I'm just going to put it up there, and you can take a picture of it, right? These are six. I'll just run by it. Are you ready? Here we go. And this will be the end. You say, sure. Anyways, the next thing we do is we worship in the Spirit. So as we're being led this morning by Cam, we come along and we worship them. They're not there to entertain us or to hype us up. They're there to provide spiritual leadership so that we can join in a corporate sense where we can begin to worship in the Spirit of God. In the Spirit, by the Spirit, led by the Spirit. So can you imagine if the worship team here on a Sunday morning is born of the Spirit, they're living in the Spirit, they're praying in the Spirit, and they're led by the Spirit, and we come in as the people of God, and we say, what do? Well, we're going to submit to the leadership, and they're going to lead us, and we're going to go with them, and we're going to experience the presence of God. And what will happen, the Holy Spirit will come and adjust the governance of our lives to help us for the next 7 days. See, that's what that does? Absolutely. Between this Sunday and next Sunday is 168 hours. We come together once a week to corporately worship together. This is to be so purposeful. But this keeps us on track. Now, you don't just have to do it on Sunday. There's personal aspects to worship. When you go to John chapter 4, where he met the woman at the well, and he gave us some... He gave us some boundaries for worship. They that worship me must. Can somebody say must? Worship me in spirit and in truth. Led by the Spirit. And the word truth is verity. By the truth of God's word. You take God's word. You take the lyrics this morning. Every time a song is sung in our house, I analyze the lyrics. Are the lyrics theologically sound? Because I want, as I'm leading in worship, I want you to be led in theological soundness. That is a full reflection of God's word. And so if it's not, we sit down as a worship team, we talk about those songs, say, maybe this is not suiting. Maybe we need to adjust some of the lyrics because some of them do not reflect necessarily. However, I do give all kinds of room for poetic expression because that happens as the creative genius of God is expressing himself through songwriting and those kinds of things. Then it says, rejoice in the Spirit. That's a place. Can you imagine if the Holy Spirit visited us and we began to dance before the Lord? How is it we only dance at weddings? What about dancing before the Lord? The Bible says there's no such thing as dancing in the Spirit. You understand that? It's not biblical. David danced before the Lord with all his might, but the term dancing in the Spirit has been coined by us as a religious expression. Let me tell you, when we get to praise the Lord with the dance, can you imagine Zephaniah 3:17, that he dances over us with joy? Hello. God just steps off his throne for a moment, and he begins to jive. He begins to, seriously, he dances over us with joy. Can you, come on, shut your eyes for a moment. Can you picture God dancing? Can't you? Yeah, I knew you could. You can too, right? Yeah, all these guys, their imaginations, they're gone. You keep your imagination going, right? Because he dances over us with joy. And then this is part of the momentum of the Spirit. And then we've got being fervent in spirit. Wow. Maintaining our zeal to the boiling point. And that's the evidence of a transformed life. Oh, I remember when I was so zealous for the Lord. Where'd it go? Governance. Be fervent in spirit. It's not you make it up. It's just when Holy Spirit is there and he's a governor and you give him permission, he wants to release himself in spiritual fervency. It's called zeal. The zeal of the Lord. Don't get excited about this, okay? Because this could help us. Okay, almost done. Okay, what about this one? This is about communion today, where Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Have you been there in the journey? Because sometimes the thing that affects our momentum is there is eager desire on our part for God, but that flesh thing. So it's back to governing. Who's governing whom? Who's governing our spirit? Who's governing our mind? Who have we placed in charge? For me, it's an intelligent decision made by us to say, you're going to have the governance of my mind. Here's another one by Zechariah 4:6, where he wants us to be enabled by the Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So we're born of the Spirit. Now he wants us to be enabled by the Spirit. So in other words, enabling, there's a good enabling and a bad enabling. This is a good enabling where he wants to enable us to do what? To accomplish in and by the Spirit the things that we can't do in and by the flesh. Say, where'd you get that? Well, that's what anointing is. When we're enabled, the anointed one that lives on the inside is released through us to do things that we could not do on our own. And say things we'd never say. Because the enabler lives within to enable us to live this kind of life in the Spirit. It's not hocus pocus. This is God's word. Just laying it out line upon line upon line. And then last but not least is Galatians 5:25 says, Ken, you don't know the cadence of the Spirit. You don't understand the rhythm of the Spirit. And then you don't understand that they're just keep in step with the Spirit. What does that do for me? It means that I'm not stepping ahead of him. I'm not lagging behind him. But I found, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm trying to find the rhythm of the Spirit of the living God. And I find his step. And when he steps, I step. If it's a two-step, then it's a two-step. If it's a three-step, it's a four-step. Whatever it means, keep in step with the Spirit. Now, can I tell you what Holy Spirit said to me to say to you this morning? Would you like to, anybody like to listen? I just need one. Okay, I'll talk to you. Forget the rest. I was driving here today. And the Holy Spirit said to this in my car, ask the people why we're always wanting to pull the past into the present. Why are we always trying to do this? Holy Spirit says to me on the highway, brother, why are we trying to pull the past? We want God to do things the way he did then, the way he did that, the way he did this. The Holy Spirit said, tell the people this morning to walk with me to pull the future into the present. That means he wants to unveil some things that we cannot see. That's the prophetic dimension. Because the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. Bill was talking last week about the harvest. I live for the harvest. Somebody asked me this week, what do you desire for Calgary? So I desire the ingathering of the harvest through the mobilized church that's advancing the kingdom of God. That we would see people come in out of darkness into light. And it's going to happen through the bunch of us that are walking, living, praying this spirit-filled life. Question? I showed you 12 things. Do you think we're capable of that? I think we are, because he had never ask us to do something he would not enable us to be able to do. Isn't that right? He wants us to step in to know. What do you think? You're there, are you? Big brown eyes. I think these brown eyes that are on the sideways looking at me all the time I'm preaching here. So Holy Spirit has a prophetic dimension for you, body. And I, I had more come, but I'm going to shut up. So Jesus, we're here this morning to open up your word and to walk it through with the people that you love, your people, the sheep of your pasture. So Holy Spirit, you take the scripture, you take the word, you take the theme that this house is on. You take the journey that you're leading them in. And I pray that there'll not be reluctance, but there'll be submission. Submission to you, Father. I take these things that you have isolated in your word. And if we took these as individual believers and isolated life in the Spirit, begins at being born again. And then we start this journey of walking, of living, of worshiping, of rejoicing. Father, I come as an intercessor this morning on behalf of this congregation, and I ask that you would do something for this body, and that you would raise the level of spiritual fervency in the heart of everyone. Such a God awareness in what you want to do in every one of our lives. And I believe, Father, the raising up of the sons and daughters of God in this house. In the name of Jesus. I pray prophetically according to your word. Your prophet said, hasten your word to perform it. So all the word that has been declared since January 1 in this house, over these last 2 months, now coming into the third month, that you would hasten your word to fulfill it. Could I get agreement on that? Would you just lift up your hands to God with me? And would you pray this after me, Heavenly Father? Well, let's try that again. Could you lift up your voice like a trumpet? Can we do that? Don't squeak this out, okay? Heavenly Father. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Let's try that again. Heavenly Father. Oh. Hasten. Oh, no, you missed that. Let's try it again. Heavenly Father. Hasten your word to fulfill it through us, your people. Holy Spirit, I engage with you this morning as the governor of my life. I submit myself to you and to your word. Holy Spirit, I would ask you to help me to walk in the Spirit in dimensions that I have not gone. In Jesus' name. Let's open our mouths. Let's worship him together. Can we do that? Go ahead, lift up your voice to the Father. We worship you, Almighty God. We give you praise with thanksgiving. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's stand together, church. Can we lift up our voices? Just go ahead, lift up your voices and give him praise this morning. Let's worship him in spirit. Go ahead. We worship you. Don't be afraid of your voice. Just lift it up like a trumpet. Go ahead. We worship you, Most High God. We bless you for who you are, for all the things that you want to accomplish in our life. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Father. If there be anybody here this morning that you're not yet born of the Spirit, we'd love to pray with you this morning and lead you on a journey out of the realm of the flesh into the realm of the Spirit to be born again of the Spirit of God. That's where it all begins. I stretch my hands over you this morning. I speak the blessing. favor of God over everyone in Jesus' name. May you know the peace of God that passes human understanding. May your hearts be kept and aligned with everything that God has for you. God bless you today. Thank you for the honor of ministering the word of God.